Oh, what the fuck kind of tagline is this?
Ice Age is coming.
Jewel of the Nile is coming.
Not the Ice Age. Ice Age is coming.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I'm Dave, going with my tough co-host, Mr. Ryan.
They do call me tough. Tough. In some circles.
Ryan is hanging tough.
Yes.
We are Movies on Up. The tagline for this week, when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Which is a movie tagline, trust us.
It is. It is. I believe there's an 80s song that is on this soundtrack, I believe.
Probably.
But if you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Facebook.com/moviesonup or Twitter @moviesonup. If you pick the right movie and you are selected, you will win a jewel of a prize package straight from Niles-ish, Ohio.
Yeah, that's where I'll mail it.
This week, no clue why. I think The Lost City of Z, that Charlie Hunnam, Robert Pattinson, and Spider-Man, I think they're looking for a lost city, but I think it came out last week. I think it got bumped up. Anyways. Something about somebody looking for something was
looking for a reason that we're doing this
was
list.
Set to come out. So this week on the calendar, it says favorite expedition / in search of movies.
Yeah.
Here's where there's a problem with that. I thought expedition meant
something different.
In search of. But it's really not. Expedition is just like hiking?
Yeah, it can be.
So
yeah.
This is a weird list. It was one of the hardest ones I've had to put together.
I found it super easy.
How did you go about it?
Here's what I did. I took a look at Expedition and In Search Of, and I thought, holy shit, is that broad. So what I'm going to do is pick one thing that people are in search of, and I chose treasure. So I said, I'm going to do 5 movies about people looking for treasure.
I went the treasure route, too, after a while, because at first, for a while, it's like, I'll do a Ryan thing, and I'll just make up my own list and be like, oh, these will be my favorite self-discovery movies. But then I thought, that's actually a pretty decent list idea, so I want to save self-discovery for a different time when we'll get to it, and I'll realize this is a terrible idea, and I'll have no idea how to do self-discovery movies. But I thought, okay, treasure.
Yeah.
Clearly there are some movies where they're looking for treasure.
Absolutely.
And then I realized, there's a lot of movies. I don't like any of these. So then I realize expedition doesn't mean looking for treasure. It just means let's go for a hike.
Yeah.
So I thought backpacking movies. I have some treasure. I have some backpacking movies, essentially.
Backpacking movies.
that's do they wear backpacks or are they exploring?
Ooh.
So I guess that's it.
Backpack movies, that's going to change the game because I could do American Werewolf in London.
Exploring, I guess, is my thing. Are they exploring something?
Exploring a cave, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
My number one, they are.
Ah, yeah. So, I see where you're going.
So that's where I went.
Exploring some ruins? That would be a good number 5.
Yeah, not me.
I know. I'm just
saying. But what is your number 5? Spoiler alert.
Spoiler
alert.
We know it. You already should know my number 5 because I did tell you what it was last week.
Every week.
Yes.
We know you do.
Well, at least my girlfriend does, so she already
Somebody
knows my
has
number
to.
5. Yeah. She's bumping those
Hi, Sarah.
Stats up. My number 5 is the
Thanks
aforementioned. Yeah, I'm sure she'll tell you that you're welcome. Is the aforementioned Romancing the Stone from 1984, directed by one of Dave's favorites, Robert Zemeckis, so much so it probably made his list last week, starring Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito. Now, in addition to just deciding I was going to do all treasure movies, I also decided that I was going to do no Indiana Jones movies because those are fairly obvious. And I do mention often how much I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in fairness, Expedition or In Search Of, I would say my top 3 could very easily be the 3 Indiana Jones movies. There are only 3. I know of no 4th one. So I left all those off and I started thinking about Indiana Jones because I was specifically going to leave him off. And just a more cartoonish version of Indiana Jones is what Michael Douglas is doing in Romancing the Stone. And later, a different movie, I think, had something to do with Jewel and Niles, I believe. Jack Cotton almost seems like he's last action heroed by the writer character played by Kathleen Turner. The setup is a bit crazy and the plot is nowhere near grounded, but it is a fun adventure. It may almost seem like a ripoff of Raiders and movies like that, but I think it's really more of a parody. If you think about what occupation would be less believable as an action hero than perhaps an archaeologist, I don't know, how about a rare bird smuggler racing Nazis to the Ark of the Covenant? That's the soundtrack for Jewel of the Nile?
Yeah, the sequel. Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why I remember that there was an 80s pop song for that soundtrack.
I don't know either, but I'm glad we've solved that mystery.
When the going gets tough.
Yeah, nice. It's a very 80s song. It's just like, here's the name of the song. We're just going to repeat it a bunch throughout the song and then end it and go do a bunch of cocaine.
Track one, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, which is the tagline for the movie. Track two,
Remix?
The Jewel of the Nile.
Oh, yes.
The name of the movie.
That makes perfect sense. And there's only two tracks, so that's about it. So when you compare the stakes to something like Indiana Jones to a movie like this, where it's not really Nazi world domination, it's just accepting about $400 in traveler's checks to help a stranger either deliver a map or find a huge emerald, or ideally both. At its core, it's a romantic comedy. It's just a fun adventure.
Yeah, it's an adventure romantic comedy.
Yes, old genre.
Which we had a lot of in the 80s and ish.
Certainly.
Like, around this time, like, this was pretty common, but I think this upped the stakes on the adventure part of it. It was originally on my list, but I replaced it with my number 5 from 2008. It's a couple outlaws and a bounty hunter. They're looking for a treasure map, so they're not really looking for the treasure yet, but they're on the hunt for the treasure map while being pursued by the Japanese army and Chinese bandits. It is Ji-Woon Kim's The Good, the Bad, the Weird. Just a fun, ridiculous movie. It takes place in 1940s Manchuria. A lot of it's on a train, a very Western-y feel to it, but like a modern, fun Western. It's got your good, it's got your bad, it's got your weird, and the facts of life. It's just a fun movie, and they're looking for a treasure map. So I thought, I like this better than City Slickers 2, so it's my number 5.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't spoil your number 1.
No, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and City Slickers 2 do not make an appearance, although The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly certainly...
Good, the Bad, the Weird.
No, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly actually is a hunt for treasure movie, which this movie borrows heavily from.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
All the way down to the title.
All the way down to the title. Yeah. And searching for treasure during wartime or just post-wartime. I guess I'll do also rans as we go. I've already done the Indiana Jones stuff. We'll just
I do
throw
that all the time.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on there too. My number 4 is a movie that I've mentioned a couple times on this podcast, and it is, I believe, gaining some momentum to have its own spin-off movie episode, because I know Dave likes it as well. It is Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits from 1991, starring Sean Connery, John Cleese, and Shelley Duvall. Of the three movies in Gilliam's trilogy of imagination, Time Bandits is the first. It's the easiest to follow, and in my opinion, it is the best. It's also the easiest to describe. You have a bored, history-loving kid who joins up with a group of dwarves with a magical map that travel through space and time to steal treasure. And in the hands of Terry Gilliam, that is what he does wonderfully. The rest of my movies are sort of bound to one particular treasure located in one particular moment of time, whereas the bandits travel to ancient Greece, medieval England, and even stranger places, basically just in search of treasure and adventure. It is a fun trip through time. It reminds me, well, this movie came out first, but it's very...
Bill and Ted's?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot like Bill and Ted.
But less high.
Less high, but they're still interacting with these historical figures that are maybe not exactly how you would imagine them. Very fun. Time Bandits, very, very fun movie.
I almost had this on my list, but I made an also-ran because it's one of those that's like, if we're on the same page and Ryan's thinking the same way, this is absolutely on his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a Gilliam fan.
I
like this and 12 Monkeys, and I think that's about where it ends. But yeah, this one's fun. This one, and I think there's another obvious one that I won't say because it might be on your list. I'm not a fan of it. Of the two of them, I like this one a lot more. My number 4, not an all-time classic. It's a movie out in Australia from 2005. It's Greg McLean's Wolf Creek. They're backpacking through the Australian outback.
Yes, they are.
And they get found by somebody who they didn't want to find them. So it's a slow burn. This is at a time when horror was like The Ring and The Grudge, mm-hmm. and there was all
the
that.
The J-horror stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the A-horror.
Yeah. It came out at a time when people were, you know, your House of a Thousand Corpses. They wanted the music video feel and the jump scares of what horror was giving at that time. And this is a buildup. This is more Texas Chainsaw Massacre yeah. than The Ring. So it's a buildup. It's a slow burn. But I think when you get there, it's worth sticking around for the smoke because it does build up. It is good. It does get better as it goes on. I will always say about horror movies, I would rather watch 3 people that I care about die than 20 people that I don't give a shit about.
In a horror movie, yes. In life I'm going to take the opposite.
Yeah, in a horror movie, that's where you get the slow burn is you get to know the characters before anything happens. And death matters, which is a lot of, not to harp on dumb Americans, but
it's an English trait.
It's an American horror movie thing where we don't care.
Right.
Don't
I mean,
matter
they do that better
movies.
Overseas.
Yeah, everywhere yeah. overseas.
Yes,
like,
seemingly.
Making death matter in horror movies is the universal healthcare of the world. Like, America is like the only one that
can't
get it right.
Out. My next two movies, I'm certain that you don't have on your list because they happened pre-1975, and they are, one of them actually has treasure in the damn name. They are both directed by John Huston. My number 3 is his 1948 Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart, Walter Huston, and Tim Holt. While my first two movies are fun treasure-seeking movies, this one is a bit darker. In the 1920s, you have 3 down-on-their-luck Americans down in Mexico, specifically in the Sierra Madre mountain range. They're looking for gold. Finding said gold turns out to be one of the easier parts of the exercise. Then the group must fend off each other, a new guy that shows up at the camp, as well as bandits. Walter Huston's character, who was John Huston's dad, was phenomenal in this. He's kind of like your typical old-timey prospector who is great out in the woods or out in the wilderness. He's kind of the level-headed one of the bunch. He's done this before. He actually won an Academy Award for this. He was fantastic. This movie specifically, I mentioned last week, we talked about the Bye Felicia line. Oh, that's where that came from. This movie has a couple things that are sort of iconic that you don't really realize it. The prospecting group gets ambushed by a group of bandits pretending to be federales. And I believe it's Walter Huston's character that asks, oh, if you guys are federal agents, I'd like to see your badges. And the banditos respond with, badges, we don't need those stinking badges. So that's where that comes from.
It came from UHF.
Yeah, exactly. It came from UHF, and I think it came from Blazing Saddles. I think they spoof it in that movie as well. But that's where that comes from. And what I like the most about this movie is, okay, once you find this treasure, and you're with guys that you don't necessarily, they're not family, you don't necessarily trust them, like that paranoia that starts to begin within the group. And Humphrey Bogart's character is perfect with it because he is convinced that these other two are going to kill him and take his share of the gold. Why split something 3 ways when you can only split it 2 ways? So as you see him kind of spiral out of control, his performance just gets better and better as he gets greed and a touch of the crazies as well. It's where you get this idea of bogarting something, trying to take it all for or keep it all for yourself. So that bit of pop culture comes from this movie as well. Not as fun as my first two entries, but I believe it's probably more likely to be the realistic scenario if you just come across basically free money in the wilderness.
My number 3, I went back to Treasure from 2014, directed by David Zellner. It is Kimiko, the treasure hunter. About Kimiko,
a treasure hunter,
who finds a copy of Fargo on VHS and believes that the bag of money hidden in Fargo is real and believes she comes across a map to find that bag of money. So she leaves Japan and goes to Minnesota, to look for North Dakota, wherever it is. I think she goes to Minnesota.
Yeah, the movie does take place between those two cities.
Yeah, it's just a weird story. I think there's shades of a true story that came from that this came from somewhere. Basically, it's just about somebody coming to the States to look for treasure hidden in the movie Fargo. And that's the best way to describe it, because that is at the core. That's what this movie's about. It's unique. It's a weird journey that you go on. It's a weird expedition that you follow Kimiko through. It's definitely worth a watch. It's hard to talk about without. It's just, it's a weird.
Without spoiling that she doesn't find the Fargo money.
Not going to confirm nor deny that.
I actually like that that's your number three, because it dovetails nicely into my number two. All of my other treasures on this list are all treasures that you can find and that actually exist. My number two involves a treasure which may be a MacGuffin, and it is John Huston's The Maltese Falcon from 1941, also starring Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Gladys George, and Walter Huston shows up again. Not in it for very long, but he is in it. This is one of my favorite noirs of all of the time. On its surface, it is a treasure hunt. It's certainly a wacky, twisty-turny treasure hunt, but a treasure hunt nonetheless. It doesn't start that way, as Bogart begins by investigating the death of his partner and the death of the guy that probably killed his partner. Eventually, it all comes out that everyone is involved in the plot is looking for this jewel-encrusted statue, the Maltese Falcon, which is, like I said, a bit of a MacGuffin, probably the best and maybe earliest example I can think of with that film trope. Bit of a red herring on that one. In addition to Bogart, it has all the hallmarks of a great noir. It's a fantastically complicated scheme. Great music, wonderfully lit scenes in black and white. And while it may or may not actually have a treasure, it's on my list of movies because it's a list of movies about treasure hunts, not necessarily treasure finds.
Anytime anybody says red herring now, I think of 22 Jump Street with the tattoo.
Yes, of the red hair.
That's my high school mascot. That's an oddly specific tattoo. I don't know why that. There's so many jokes in 22 Jump Street like that that are delivered perfectly. My number two, speaking of perfectly delivered jokes, is an actor who I'm a sucker for. He's kind of disappeared, although his sequel to Goon is coming out very soon, from 2003, starring The Rock and Sean William Scott, along with Christopher Walken, Rosario Dawson, and Uncle Rico. It's The Rundown, directed by Peter Berg.
You mean the angry guy from Monster Squad?
Yes, Angry Man.
Angry Man, that's it, yes.
John Grease. Ernie Reyes Jr. is in this movie, too. It's The Rock. He's hired by a mobster to go track down the mobster's son, who is Sean William Scott, who's ran off to the Amazon. So he goes to hunt him down, finds him, realizes he's looking for treasure. You have Christopher Walken, who runs the nearby town, who wants that treasure for themselves. And you have a Rock action movie.
Yes.
That's where it is.
The buddy action movie with The Rock and Stifler.
Yes, and I like Stifler. I like Sean William Scott. I thought he was able to do some really good stuff, and The Rock has good chemistry with everybody. So The Rock is kind of one of those, if there's somebody who's kind of funny, put him with The Rock, he's going to bring it out in him. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what he's done. He's got great chemistry with everybody. That's no different here. Got a Midnight Run kind of feel to it in the Amazon looking for treasure. But
yeah, very Midnight Runny.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a shot for shot. But I mean, that dynamic.
I understand. A guy that's been dispatched to bring another guy back.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
There's a mob element to it.
Sean William Scott had this and then that Bulletproof Monk movie that jumps off a helicopter. Oh, that part was awesome. He swings off one leg of the helicopter over the other one. Fantastic. But number two is The Rundown from 2003.
This is
Peter Berg before he started doing only true stories starring Mark Wahlberg.
My number one is a movie that I can never remember if Dave's never seen or just doesn't like or both. But when I think of treasure, if you were disappointed by the lack of treasure in my number two, don't worry. There's plenty of the rich stuff around in One-Eyed Willie's Pirate Ship from Richard Donner's The Goonies from 1985, starring Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Corey Feldman. I love The Goonies. Maybe irrationally, but I love the movie. Anytime I run across a movie that stars a group of kids, it can be Stand By Me, it could be Super 8, anything. I'm always comparing it to The Goonies, whether that comparison fits or not. It really doesn't for Stand By Me. It just happens to be a group of kids. But F it. They're not The Goonies. you have a story written by two great, great, great writers from that time, two great storytellers from that time, Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus. It's a ton of fun. And Donner does a great job featuring all the kids. It is an ensemble movie in every sense of the word. Not just with the Goonies. You know, obviously, you got Mikey, Mouth, and Chunk. And if you want to throw Sloth in there, too. But even the Fratellis are great. From Mama Fratelli to the brothers, they just have such strong personalities. And they're such great kind of heavies for this kind of movie. I think it kind of has all the best examples of great storytelling from Spielberg and Columbus. Columbus almost specifically, you can totally see Kevin McAllister from Home Alone sitting down with Data, exchanging ideas on booby traps and how you can keep a couple adults from killing you. Maybe my love for this movie is steeped heavily in the 80s rose-colored glasses I occasionally wear, but I think the movie still does hold up great today. For me, it's hard to see Sean Astin in anything and not think of Mikey. Watching him in Lord of the Rings, I'm thinking Rudy. About, I have no idea what that movie even is, but I love the Goonies. I mean, Josh Brolin's obviously gone on to do huge stuff. Martha Plimpton's on a bunch of TV shows. Like, a lot of people from this movie went on and did stuff.
50 First Dates.
He did. Corey Feldman sang on the Today Show or whatever that was. It was awful. Such a great 80s cast, specifically. Cary Grant, outside of Molly Ringwald, there's not too many people that are more like 80s girl than Cary Grant, but she's great in this. And I just love the Goonies. It's a perfect kids adventure movie. I think it's kind of the Home Alone for 80s kids. I just happened to come around at a time where I could catch both of these.
And that's where the problem is with me, is it's not a bad movie. I didn't see it until like early 2000s. So, I mean, I was into my 20s already when I saw this for the first time, and it just didn't do anything for me as a 20-some-year-old dude watching it. I could see if I'd have watched it a decade earlier.
The problem is with you, not the Goonies.
Pretty much is what I'm saying, yeah. Like, the timing for me in this movie didn't line up. If right. I'd have watched it at the same time I watched Gremlins or even Time Bandits, I would probably hold it to that regard, but I didn't. I watched it 20 years, 15 years too late, and it just doesn't resonate with. I don't like some of the actors in it, and at the time, I wouldn't have had that hatred for him already.
Because you don't know what Corey Feldman would become. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a joke at that point. He's the kid that's in every 80s movie.
Exactly. So it was hard for me to go back and watch it. It's not a bad movie. It's just, it's not for me. I don't get any joy out of it. I was going to transition and say my number one I do get joy out of, but it's a bad movie to get joy from. From 2005, it's another horror movie from 2005.
About spelunking.
Written and directed by Neil Marshall. They're not looking for anything specific. They're just exploring.
It's an expedition.
They're diving into caves, and this is what they do for spare time. A year after a last one that killed the one girl's husband and kid. Brutally in the first 5 minutes. It's The Descent.
Get back on that horse.
I love that movie. This is one of those that I don't know how we haven't done an episode on this movie. I feel like every Halloween when we list movies that we want to do, I feel like in the five Halloweens that we've done, The Descent comes up every year and we just never fit it in.
I almost think every Neil Marshall movie comes up at some point. Every time you talk about The Descent, which I love, I always get pissed if we don't mention Dog Soldiers, because I like that a lot too.
I like Doomsday.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender, we talk about.
Centurion.
He's done a lot of Game of Thrones. He's done some Hannibal, Constantine. He does like the best episode of Game of Thrones every year, it seems like.
He did that Tales of Halloween movie, which was not a great anthology. I was expecting Trick or Treat. Yeah. And then when I heard that Neil Marshall did one, I was like, oh, God. And it wasn't that, but
he's sticking with mostly TV, Game of Thrones, Black Sails, Constantine, Timeless, Westworld. He's doing the Lost in Space series. The Skull
Apparently
Island.
He's doing the Skull Island sequel.
Yeah. He was supposed to do the Voyage of the Demeter or whatever. That I don't know if that fell apart
the
or
The Vigo
what.
Movie.
Yeah. But get back to The Descent. Like, Dog Soldiers was great, but I think this is his best movie. It's one of those that you don't know what you're getting into. It's best to watch it not knowing anything about it. And I've made other people watch it that didn't know it was a monster movie. I compare it to From Dusk Till Dawn in that sense. Like the first half of From Dusk Till Dawn,
not a vampire
it's
movie.
Not a vampire movie. This is just a scary, claustrophobic, cave-dwelling movie. And then the monsters come out. But there's already stuff going wrong, and now you have these monsters. Mm-hmm. The monsters are awesome. The stuff he does with the camera, the shooting of them is awesome. Everything's explained, and it goes back to what I said about Wolf Creek. Like, you know these characters. Yeah, at the end of the day, only, what, 6 to 8 of them die? Well, I mean, they all die, but there's only, like, 6 to 8 of them. But they matter. Like, you know who they are, and it leads up to the conclusion that's brutal. It's just a really, really good cave diving movie, monster movie, claustrophobic movie, cave movie. Like, it's a great any type of movie you want to categorize it as. Yeah, just really, really.
Not a feel-good story.
No. No, unless you, if it is.
If you're a monster.
If it is a feel-good story, please seek therapy, because I think you could find joy other places. But I absolutely love this movie.
Like the Goonies.
I do want to do an episode on this. So maybe let's commit that this October we finally do a Descent episode.
I have no problem committing to
it. I say that
it.
Now.
Remembering.
We won't remember.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how far our calendar app goes.
In about August or September, remind us that we, in July or August, remind us that we committed to a Descent episode.
No later than September.
Yeah, you listening, Sarah? Remind us.
No, she's not.
So yeah, my number one's The Descent. What kind of also-rans?
To be honest with you, I didn't have very many also-rans.
I had trouble coming up with the 5 I had.
Yeah, I mean, after eliminating the indie trilogy, after getting rid of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which I wanted to put on there just because...
Kind of represented it.
Well, yeah, you kind of did. I didn't know you were going to do that, but like... Oh, all right. This is, everybody thinks it's a Western, and it is, but it is a Western about searching for treasure.
I had King Kong. I like the Peter Jackson one well enough. Like,
certainly, that's an expedition.
Yeah. I haven't seen Kong Skull Island yet.
Neither have I.
I probably would have had that on there. I had Time Bandits, Trespass, with Ice Cube, because they're looking for treasure.
They are.
Yeah, so I snuck that on there. It was in my top 5 until I replaced it. It was an expedition getting to how I put this list together.
A backpacking trip.
It was a journey, and I was in search of a way to do it. But we ended up being on the same page. That worked out. Next week, big week for us. I think so. Let me look at the calendar.
I was going to say, this is Dave filling time.
Next week, our summer preview.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. It starts early May now. It used to be later May. But it's our last episode of April, so we'll be kicking into the summer. It'll be an interesting summer. We got a couple Marvel movies.
ADC. Yeah.
Some Edgar Wright. So this summer, if you like awesome directors, should be a good summer. Like, there's some really good directors with movies coming out this summer.
I honestly, to this point in the year, I think it's been a great
this
year
year's
for movies.
Been ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm behind now. I'm not usually behind going to the summer.
For the halftime show, which is still 4 months away.
Yeah.
I sometimes struggle to get to 5. Uh-huh. I have a solid top 5 now that I'm confident with, and I can list 5 or 6 movies I haven't seen yet.
Between now and then that are going to make
the list. That I haven't seen yet that are out already. And that's not counting what comes between.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. We're getting really good movies. Really, really good movies. Like, from January on. And I hope it continues because it's been awesome.
I suspect it will. I mean, there's certainly some stuff that I'm hype about seeing. We'll certainly get into that more next week. But until then,
keep it up.